Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. Tonight, we are having a show with three major topics. Don is on the line, and I'm not sure if Pianki or Suzette will be here tonight. In Burnsville, Minnesota, there was a showdown between a man barricaded in his house who killed two cops and a paramedic. He was a 38-year-old man. And he had two prior domestic assault charges. And then later on, like 5 years after his second assault, he gained two-thirds custody of his children by the same woman he assaulted, which is a little odd. And this happened in Burnsville, Minnesota, which is a suburb of the Minneapolis-St. Paul area. It's not in the epicenter of the city. He had seven kids in the house. He would not negotiate ultimately with police because he said the police took away his manhood of some level. And then we also have, I think, Singapore Mike on the line. So the thing is, okay, maybe the cops did insult his integrity, but he had multiple guns. He was at the doorway of his house. He wouldn't negotiate, and then he ended up killing two police officers and a paramedic before any type of resolution could be exalted. The problem is he took his own life after that, leaving the seven kids without a father, and so there was no bargaining chip on the table. And it was actually just a very big tragedy, another police legacy in Minneapolis. The second topic tonight is, yesterday in America, there were three wireless services, Verizon, T-Mobile, and AT&T, where over 50% of the AT&T customers lost their service, and I was one of them for 12 hours. San Francisco, Houston, and Atlanta were other big hotspots where they lost their service. But broadly enough, it covered coast to coast. And there's been speculation that there was a terrorist threat the government had to shut the wireless facilities down because it was AT&T and the other company didn't provide any explanation till the middle of the day. And it happened till 3 in the morning, and they were very oblique about it. The last topic I wanted to bring up, now I forgot, so I'm just going to get to that later. So let's say hi to Don first. Hi, Don.
Hello there, Jane. Hello there, everyone.
Yep. I will say that I did send a olive branch to John saying he could call the show if he didn't mention Taylor Swift or Trump, and he was prevented from saying any T words. I haven't heard back from him, so here's Sinkampore Mike, I believe. Hello, this is Jane.
Yes, yes Jane. Goldenrod, how are you?
Good. We have the same three people on we had a week ago. Was it two weeks or last week?
Yes. A greeting to Don, Sir Don.
Hello.
From Democratic Council. How are you? And to your new guest as well, too. And, of course, we always, you are the guest. And you are the host of the show, Jane. How are you?
Yeah,
yep.
Like I usually hear from Pianke every day with his texts. But he hasn't responded about the show lately. So anyway, there was a third topic I was going to bring up, but I really can't remember it right now. I do have one smaller topic I'll bring up, very subtly at the end. It's not that consequential. But Pianke's been sending me a lot of texts about Fannie, that judge involved in a Georgia case, about her integrity if she had an affair. It has to do with Trump and Trump having problems in Georgia with legal issues. But why don't we tackle the Burnsville case first? Don, I wanted to point out that every time there's a major crime in America, like with violence, Pianke is always pressuring and reminding us that they don't ever publish the race of the assailant anymore. What do you think of that, Don? And is it necessary? Because I don't think it is.
It depends on who you are. If you're publishing the race of the assailant, there's nothing wrong with it. There's kind of a need for the public to know because it gives them a good idea of what the circumstances were, it possibly was. Like the Kansas City shooting, that was completely understandable. It can happen anywhere where two members who get in a fight, no matter what their persuasions or divisions are, they'll start shooting. That's the way of the world has been since pretty much 1960
or
70.
Well, like if someone's a fugitive and they leave the scene, then I can see them publishing it. But if someone gets killed, in a shooting like this guy in Burnsville and he's already dead, well, eventually they're going to publish his background, but I think, black men were targeted in the 70s and 80s. So I think most major media outlets try to avoid that. If it's something like Michael Brown and Ferguson, then they're going to publish the picture of the cop who was guilty and the victim. But the fact of the matter is I don't see it. A lot of times you don't see it anymore. You don't see the face of the assailant.
Yeah, you do. I mean,
not always. Not the first 2 days. So who was the shooter in the Kansas City Chief Parade? Who was it, a man or a woman?
John, can you please speak up? Because we can't hear you clearly.
Okay. Yeah, no, there were two guys. They killed a woman who was a teacher, Hispanic. But I thought
she was a public official.
She
was like a city council member or something.
No, she was like a teacher. What was she? What was this?
Okay,
name?
I'll look it up in a minute.
Yeah.
Anyways.
But yeah.
Go,
no. This,
keep
this
talking.
Is something that happens. No, just something that when you're talking about gang violence or intense hatred between families or people who have had disturbances in the community, inner city community, then gun violence is one of the number one killers for black people in the country. But in this particular instance, why they're at the parade with guns like that going off, that's kind of an unusual situation, because they weren't looking to do a mass shooting or anything like that. This was strictly a person-to-person altercation, or might have, turned into three people, but somebody got killed and 22 people got shot.
All right, the two guys who did it were Lyndall Mays of Raytown and Dominic Miller of Kansas City. I'm still looking.
Right.
I know the female victim. I'm 99% sure she held a city title. I don't think she was a teacher.
Okay. Well, she might have been. I don't know.
Lisa Lopez Galvin was a 43-year-old who was killed, the mother of two, and she was a popular party disc jockey. That's okay. She was an entertainer.
Right.
She was an entertainer in the local area, like at parties.
Okay.
Two elementary age sisters got shot, but they didn't die. And there were 22 people who had injuries from the shots.
Right.
But the thing is I did try to look it up the other day, but then I got distracted. In this case, the shooter of the Minneapolis killing three public servants, he was black. He had a beard. I'm not sure if he was a black Hebrew Israelite, but he looked kind of trendy, like the way that BHI people dress. But he had a couple problems in his past with women. However, whatever was going on that day, he didn't handle it well.
He didn't.
And now those kids have since been removed from the home, and they don't live there anymore. And the two windows are barricaded with wood.
Right. So he didn't know what he was doing. He went off, and this is the result. And that's all that is to the story. There is no conspiracy or collusion situation,
right,
or anything like that. This is just a story. And so we can probably go on.
Right. It was just a troubled man with a bad decision-making process.
Exactly.
Right, and seven kids is a lot to manage when you're having emotional problems. But the original call was a domestic. Like, his ex-girlfriend was in the house, and either she obviously called and was complaining about some type of sexual advance he made. Anyways, I just wanted to bring it up because in Minnesota it was a big deal. They lost three public servants in one day, and there's going to be a public memorial in a week on Wednesday at a church in Eden Prairie. The second point I want to bring up is Mike Peters, who used to call our show. He said, remember a few days ago politicians were warning everybody about some threat and possibly satellites involved? Something happened, and I bet Russia or China were involved. but they'll never tell us what really happened. And he's talking about the cell phone outages with three major companies affecting over, I think it was at least 1 million cell phone users, including myself.
Yes, was Los Angeles. Yes, it was Los Angeles, it was Minnesota, it was Chicago, New York, all the major cities in the United States was the blackout. To your time, about 4 a.m. yesterday.
Yep, I was at work, and I need my phone at night to stay awake.
Right.
So I had to use the company laptop.
Right. So the reason was actually it was not only the cyber attack, it was the major outage because it's the anniversary of the Putin attack to Ukraine, the second anniversary. It's very getting close. Within the next 48 hours, we are going to witness hell on the earth because, number one, this major thing happened in the United States. Number two, it's two high-rise buildings in Spain, Madrid, caught into the fire, and it went into the ashes. It's like a Tower of Inferno.
What was that?
In Spain.
There was a fire in Madrid?
Two high-rise buildings went basically to the ground. So
in Barcelona,
30 people died and many injured as well too. But the question is also Paris 3 days ago what happened? The lithium batteries storage was blown up suddenly. So we can see this is our prelude to the World War III, and Iran has the 50-mile tunnels. They have made the biggest city in the world, the underground, and it's full of the missile. And they were showing it to the mass public today. So we can see that Middle East is going to be on fire very, very soon. Anybody who makes a false move, that's it. It's the end of it. And not only that, and the anniversary of the Putin is coming, and this 48 hours is going to be a major breakthrough, whether it's in NATO country, and otherwise, you know, we are all going to witness some kind of event coming the next 48 to 72 hours. Go ahead, please.
Well, thank you for the extra information. I do remember the third topic, by the way.
I'll be
you guys...
on my guard for the next 72 hours.
Hey, Don, what kind of cellular service do you have?
No, AT&T. We have a different kind. We have.
What do you have, Singapore, Mike?
In Singapore, we have called Singapore Telecom.
Okay.
There's
a cheap cell phone service called Cricket in Los Angeles, and it's 100% dependent on AT&T service.
Right. All of Xfinity went down, Cricket went down, Verizon, AT&T, anything you can, all major or even a subsidy of the Verizon, etc., went down too. And it's something is not right. Anybody can imagine right now.
Well, just think if we were out of cell phone service for 4 days or five. Like, I do my banking on my phone. Now, in this case, we don't have internet service at work because they won't give it to us, but I could have gotten all the specialty services of the internet. I just couldn't make phone calls. But what if it happened over like a week period? That would be a long time. So it kind of leaves people in a helpless position.
Absolutely. That's
now, I still have a land phone. I still have a land phone, and my twin sister just got rid of hers. But wow. I like it for the convenience, and I keep it for this radio show, too.
Right.
So,
well,
so Don, do you anticipate any more things happening with the cell phone service?
Hey, Don,
no, he's
pretty, go ahead, please.
My wife works for AT&T, so she was surprised. We didn't have any problems here in Nevada, but she was surprised that we had some that there was issues. But just like Jane said, having a landline is your best bet. All those that you mentioned were mobile phone products that AT&T either sponsors, owns, or supports. And so that's something that I didn't know or have any inkling that this might be a Star Wars, that it might in fact be something that is caused by Russian and satellite interference. So that's interesting.
The thing is that, like Mike Peters said, like, they're not going to tell us.
I can't say it's true.
Pianchi is on the line. I'm going to pull him in a second. The Defense Department, if it was a serious and critical threat, they're not going to openly reveal that to the public right away. They would be cautionary and describe it under generic terms, I believe. Here's Pianchi, you guys. Just a minute.
Hello,
Pianchi,
everybody.
We have Singapore, Mike, and Don on the line.
Yeah, it looks like you got a full house.
How are you?
Yeah, we're pretty lucky since I've been alienating hosts for over a year that they still call in.
Yeah, that's good.
I told John
yeah,
he could call him if he didn't mention TNT, Trump and Taylor Swift. What's on your mind? We're talking about the nationwide cellular service outage that happened between 3:30 a.m. last night and 1 p.m. today. Were you affected by it?
Yeah. Well, in trying to call some people, but I use
Wi-Fi calling.
No,
you can do.
You can use
Wi-Fi calling instead of.
I use
okay.
TrueTalk, a conservative company that's ran by veterans, and they're American. Base.
Wow. Is
and
it one of those?
$35 a month.
It's cheap, right?
$35 a month. And when you call customer service, you're speaking to someone in Atlanta.
Not someone in Bangladesh.
I try to buy as much American as I possibly can.
By the way, we already covered the three public servants that were killed in Burnsville, Minnesota, and they did publish the picture and the race of the assailant,
well,
who is now dead as well.
A lot of times they don't. Most of the time they don't. I ain't going to say most of the time, but a lot of the times they don't.
I was telling Don that I think they made it a conscientious policy in the early 90s not to do that. If it's something like the Ferguson case, of course they're going to publish, you know, the officer who killed Michael Brown and Michael Brown. But if it's something like three people robbed a store in Minneapolis, not necessarily. But if they kill police officers, then it's guaranteed that their face is going to appear in a few days. So tonight's topic, we've already discussed that. We're almost done with the AT&T thing, and now we're moving on. I heard on a station that Pianchi doesn't like, NPR, that they found over 25 barrels of radioactive waste off the coast of Los Angeles that the Army had sunk in the ocean between 1950 and 1965. And now they're afraid that it's going to leak and cause a major environmental damage. Has anyone heard about that?
No, I don't recall it.
Yeah, well, it just came out recently, and it's being handled by an environmental agency. So I heard the story a few days ago, and I thought it was important. But really, a lot of times in these cases, they can't really even attempt to solve it until they have to figure out how to handle it scientifically. Because I found the article, but it was 56.
Where did they find it at?
Right off the coast of L.A. It was actually, I didn't know if it was over 1,000, so I made a lowball estimate, but it was 56,000 barrels of radioactive waste dumped off the U.S. coast by Los Angeles.
Is it in the water? Was it in the water?
Yeah, they dumped it in a barrel in waters over 60 to 70 years ago. And it must have been recently discovered because it wasn't in the news.
Well, it wouldn't be the first time they've lost. There have been barrels off the Pacific coast a couple of times since I've known California. And so they're always saying that it's a possibility for a leakage, or in fact there is a leakage and they don't tell you. But this wouldn't be the first one that radioactive waste.
If they were steel barrels, they would rust. Yes, quite naturally, they would leak.
Right.
Scientists said there was two things in the barrel. One was DDT, which everybody knows from Rachel Carson's book, Silent Spring. If that decomposes, it doesn't absolve itself. It'll stay in a contamination state. It's not going to, disintegrate. And they also, in the barrels, were tritium, carbon-14, and it said now, I was off by one decade, it was between the 40s and the 60s. The International Atomic Energy Agency said that over a 25-year period ending in 1970, more than 56,000 barrels of radioactive waste had been dumped into the ocean. Well, that's pretty stupid.
Military.
It was under more than 3,000 feet of water near Catalina Island. So I think there must have been a recent discovery that made it pop back into the headline news.
Yeah, because as I said, there have been other barrels found around there. So, Catalina was extremely active with the military when it was back in, which one, Pianchi? World War II or Korean War? One of them. It was very active militarily.
Yeah, one radio chemist said that once it's in the ocean, you can't take it out. Taking it out would cause more damage.
What do you mean taking it out? Just take
like
it
they
out.
Couldn't attempt to remove it from the ocean. Probably because of the weight and the danger of it.
Well, it's going to punch you eventually. I mean, just like Pianchi said, steel's going to rust. It's going to puncture out anyway. So you better do something about it now sooner than later.
Yeah, by next week I'll have more concise information. I don't now because I thought we were going to spend more time on the Burnsville situation.
It is a trap because all the people get cancer, and I guess what? All the doctors get rich, and all the medical community gets rich and richer, and the people keep getting cancer because keep going to the you know, to the ocean to have a swim, etc., or even walking close to the ocean, it can cause you to get a cancer. And this is not the good thing. And then why now it has come out? Why it did not come out 20 years, 40, 30 years ago back? Somebody has
to research this more. I think it's because there was a Northern California science agency that recently looked back into this. And do you guys remember about a week ago, it was the one-year anniversary of Amtrak falling off the track in, I think it was either in Indiana or Ohio. And they had some...
You mean Philistine? Philistine, Ohio?
Whatever it was, they had a spill, and it affected the community, and they were talking about that.
Philistine,
so
Ohio.
When it's
Philistine,
recent,
Ohio.
They pay attention.
Right, right. The Philistine, Ohio, and a lot of people lost all their properties, and they had to relocate to the different part of Ohio or different part of United States as a result. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah,
right.
You're right. It was in Ohio.
Yeah, Philistine,
and the mayor
Ohio.
Had to deal with health problems afterwards that people were experiencing, and it's still under investigation.
Absolutely.
So it's a similar situation, but it's recent, and they have more of a handle on the impact. So, go ahead, whoever wants to talk. So besides
Can I say something to Don, please? Can I say something?
I have some other
Don.
Headline news after you tell Don something.
Yes, can I say something to Don? Don, please speak up a little bit more, because the way we hear it here right now is like you are talking from the moon, landing. You know, please speak up.
Well, we have Bianchi on the line, too. Are you sure you're not mixing him up?
We can hear him very good. We can hear you very good. You can hear me very good, but we cannot hear Don at all. When Don talks, I mean, maybe it's one word I can hear good. And other.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay, Mike, can you hear me?
A little bit got better, but can you please bring it to your closer?
Mike,
Don is
excellent. You're the one that's real low.
You're in Singapore, Mike, and maybe it's because you're calling from across the big pond.
That's all right. I'll speak up. I'll speak up. No problem.
Okay, now it's better. Now it's better, my friend. God bless you.
All right. You got it.
So
was
in the last
it?
Week...
Man, come on, Mike. You called me across the freaking halfway across the world just to ask me that? Come on, Mike.
Okay, listen, you guys. This week in the news, Donald Trump is selling gold sneakers that Richard Simmons would have worn in a workout. And he got booed at Clemson University last night. RFK Jr. is at 34% now in the independent polls. And he's stealing votes from the two major parties. And he got interviewed by mainstream media, who hasn't paid any attention to him for a year. Would someone like to comment on either of those two stories?
I'm tired of Kennedys.
How can you be tired of them? They died 50 or 60 years ago.
There's enough of them.
I want a Kennedy in there to relive my glory days of having fantastic political candidates.
I don't know.
Do you think it was... it's not really rigged because his family's not even supporting him. The only ones who are supporting him is the outlying independents and, you know, the closet environmentalists. No political machine is really supporting him.
I don't want no environmentalists and independents aren't never going to win no major election. Ain't enough of them.
He did make a mistake on his website. He said George Washington was the last third-party candidate to win, but technically Millard Fillmore won when he was in the Whig Party. So they had one political faux pas. And then I looked on another email I got from Bobby Jr., and they're paying $5,000 a month for to be campaign coordinators, which is a lot of money. When I worked for the Minnesota DFL, I only got $2,000 a month and my phone reimbursed. So I would like to do that, but I can't because I just took a new job with health insurance. And plus, I figured he wouldn't last till June anyway. So do you guys think he has a chance, and does he have enough money to run on his own finances?
Go ahead, Don.
Does he have enough money to do it himself? Because now he's doing stuff like go sail with RFK Jr. for $24.
Well, he can't do it because, just like Pianchi said, we're tired of the Kennedy name. We're tired of the old regimes. We're tired of the deep state. We're tired of everything that is associated with the past in America. Even Pianchi is, you know, in some of his texts, is kind of supporting some of the people that have been wronged, who, you know, and I'm proud of them for that. So, there's an inequality that I keep on talking about reparations, but there's an inequality.
Okay, but Bobby Kennedy helped the poor in Appalachia. He wasn't part of the cabal.
No, but the thing is that his message is possibly too far left even from the Kennedys. And I can't.
Well, I think that people aren't desperate yet, but they're not tuned into 2024 because many are alienated by Trump and many are alienated by Biden. Like, they're just looking for some kind of ray of hope that'll at least bring some energy into the campaign.
And they know that Kennedy, this particular Kennedy, is not it. And part of it is his persona. You know, I'm into politics. I'm generally a kingmaker. So if somebody wants to run, I can do that. All the constitutional amendments, things that Pianchi is bringing up for Louisiana and things like that, I could probably help with. But the bottom line is that his persona is not going to be, is not the other Kennedy.
He lost 50% of his voice in surgery. Remember that Johnson guy who was on our show, that presidential candidate, John Johnson or Jim? You met him at the NAACP. What was his name?
John Fitzgerald Johnson.
Yeah. Pianchi, have you ever heard of him? He was on
our
show.
No, I haven't. No, yeah, I haven't heard of it, and I'm supporting Donald Trump because all the things we have witnessed that have went against him that is totally, totally unconstitutional and wrong. This judge is wanting him to pay, and he haven't even had his due process of appealing. I don't know where these people come from nowadays. I really don't. This is some of the abnormalist
things. Well, for one thing, I heard that all the real estate people did what he did for the $355 million penalty. But why don't you talk a little bit about that Fannie lady that somehow incriminated him in Georgia and then she was found out to be corrupt? Could you mention that topic,
please?
Yeah,
she's corrupt. She's corrupt, too. They all corrupt.
The thing is, Pianchi, though,
is
I don't know if Trump can get his head above water by November.
He can't.
I really don't think he can.
He can't, and Biden is going to have a problem. We're not going to have either one of these people as our nominees.
Suzette was on the air last week, Pianki. She doesn't think that Michelle Obama's going to replace Biden. There's a lot of rumor and talk about it. She thinks it would be Gavin Newsom.
Forget that.
Gavin Newsom would be the most logical nominee.
No.
Why would you want Michelle Obama as a president? Based on what?
No, I don't want it. John told me that in the conspiracy theory world they think that Michelle Obama's going
to
be thrown in there.
I'm not talking to you directly. When I say why would anybody want Michelle Obama as a president? What qualifications does she have in that realm? She would be led by her husband and Hillary Clinton.
Well, she's a lawyer.
That's the problem. We need business people in order to propel the economic well-being of the country ahead, not somebody based on lawsuits.
I think one reason, Pianki, that she appeals to the general public is because people trust her. She smiles a lot. And people consider her uplifting.
Martin Bellum smiled a lot, too. He said it was a sucker made every minute.
Well, I smile a lot, too, so I should be the next president of the United States. How is that?
I don't think she's that care. She's a good speaker as far as explaining things, but she's charismatic, but she's not magnetic like her husband.
Explain everything correctly, so people can understand very good what's going on around the globe, anywhere.
Why can't they find another peanut farmer?
The Arab countries aren't going to recognize it. They didn't recognize Condoleezza Rice to no extent. I mean, it's just not their culture.
Well, in the Arab world, one time in a meeting with Saudi Arabia, I read in Henry Kissinger's book, Diplomacy, that one of the Saudi Arabian ministers was so infatuated with Condoleezza Rice's legs that he couldn't keep his eyes off her. Now I'm getting kind of punchy because I've had a long day.
Condoleezza Rice is a very intelligent woman, too, by the way. When it comes down to diplomacy, she's a lot smarter than either one of the mentions.
She was smarter than the Bushes.
She's smarter than Michelle, and she's smarter than Hillary. She's not as wicked as Hillary, of course.
Well, one of my Democratic friends voted for Bush because she liked Colin Powell.
You know who would make a good president female? Huckabee, the governor of Arkansas. That's a very smart woman.
The liberals would give her total shit. How about Tulsi Gabbard?
No.
Oh, my God.
No.
Come on.
No, no,
no. She cannot even talk.
No,
well, she got a lot of positive attention when she ran last time.
Yeah,
how much she got? Like less than 10%?
She got
I don't know, but I find that Nikki Haley doesn't have any swagger at all. But one thing
Nikki
about
Haley
her...
Nikki Haley got Democrats supporting her to the hilt.
Yep.
Well, she has a consistent message. And she's serious about solving the country's problems. But as far as looks, brains, and beauty, I don't think she has any that charming of a personality.
That's the only thing.
But she's from India.
That's the only thing.
It would be funny if her and Ramaswamy ran together. Two Indians to save America.
It's like a United Kingdom. The prime minister is from India, so Indian background. Let's put it that way. So very well, that's anything is possible these days, my friend. But what is going to happen? AI is going to steal the election anyway. So it doesn't matter you vote or not. AI choose whoever the AI loves to do. And
come on, Singapore Mike. Did you know on Snapchat
AI?
I can have conversations with my AI robot?
No, I mean serious. AI is rules right now for the world. AI can, by mistake, push the button and all the humanity will be evaporated. So AI is very important role for the next election, not here, around the globe. Even in India, even in Iran, which is next week, they have elections.
So what do the people in Southeast Asia think of our presidential hopefuls?
Really, there is anybody you want has the issues. I mean, nobody has without issues. I mean, nobody is clean. Nobody.
Right.
Everybody is corrupt. And so whom do you want? They give you, two dogs, dog A, dog B. Which one do you want to choose? Both of them are going to bite you to the death. Which one you want to choose? You tell me.
Well, Wade, 3 weeks ago, Wade said that he informed his parents that they should vote for the lesser of two evils. They have no choice. And I think that's...
Well, who's the evil?
That's
who's
bad
evil?
Advice.
What? Yeah, but, you know, people make these blanket statements. General, so what is evil? That's really disingenuous to say things like that, these cliches.
Well, it's a cliche, the lesser of two evils.
Yeah, but what are the evils?
I think what he's trying to say in a nutshell is that there are people who are flawed who are going to sell out to the system on some level.
Well, we could probably understand, but they have to be more explicit. So if the lesser of two, so what's the good about them? What is it that you would like to see? What's your policy? You know, here in Louisiana today, they passed in the state Senate constitutional carry.
You mean open and carry?
Well, one, you don't have to have no concealed license to conceal carry.
But that
they
only
still
went
have
to the
concealed
house.
Carry.
But that was already true in Missouri, right?
It only went to the House so far, you said.
It passed the House yesterday. The day it passed the Senate.
Okay, so it just needs the governor's signature.
Yeah, and you get it. See, it passed before, years ago, but you had the Democratic governor, Bill Edwards. He vetoed every damn thing. And the legislature wouldn't come and override it. They did one thing, and that was make sure that children under 18 could not go under gender reassignment without the parents having some say-so.
Well, I agree with that. The parents should know. I did pluck out one thing that you mentioned, though, Pianki. Like, I could stand here and say that if I could only choose between Biden and Trump, I could list five characteristics of each person. I could name five good qualities of each one.
Well, you know, to be truthful with you, and at my age, I can say this country is in bad shape. It's in perilous times. It's approaching a $40 trillion debt. How in the heck are you ever going to pay that off? You got people talking about, like Barbara Lee, talking about a $50 an hour minimum wage. Who in the heck can afford that?
I think Taylor Swift's tax revenue from her concert could make a dent in it.
Good gracious alive.
She's taken in $1 billion in about 9 months.
Well, that's good for her. She did it legally. But they talking about taxing the hell out of her.
Yeah, because I'm wondering if she's performing in Europe and Australia and Japan, how much of that revenue has to go for America?
So what she should do is denounce her citizenship. And she could keep it all like Tina Turner did. The taxes are too high.
She recalibrated all her albums. She recalibrated all her albums so the guy who bought her catalog doesn't get all the money. But then she gave her drivers in Australia $200,000 bonuses for moving her equipment. So she obviously has money to spare.
So Bianchi, you say, who said that it's $50 minimum wage for California? Is it California or the whole United States?
Barbara Lee in California.
Senator Barbara Lee of California.
Oh, okay, okay.
Former
I
Black
understand.
Panther.
Okay.
Black
you Panther. Know, my twin sister is a psychologist in L.A., and that's what she makes, not like someone flipping burgers at Arby's or McDonald's shouldn't make that.
How in the heck are you going to be able to sell? Wait a minute. Hang on for a second. If you're paying people $50 an hour minimum wage, how much would the damn sandwiches cost?
The sandwiches would be about $20 a piece, $25 a piece. But
it's already $20. Come on.
Taxes
it's already $20. Probably it would be $40.
But your taxes would be 18%. So you're paying out your taxes, giving back to the government, and so you're paying down the debt.
A couple on Instagram posted a picture in the grocery store in Canada. They said that like 20 to 25 chicken wings cost $200. They said do not move to Canada at all.
Oh, yeah, Canada has a world healthcare system. And, you know, people who are immigrate there or even a Canadian, they come to United States, they go get the Lodet, they get their morphine, because in case if they need it, they can use it. Otherwise, to go to see a doc in Canada is like you give an arm or leg. And also in United States, Aetna sucks. So if you have an Aetna insurance
in Canada,
the
they have a
States.
Single payer system.
Right. That sucks. And it's like Aetna. Every time you want anything, they decline you. They decline you. That's why people are leaving Aetna like they run away.
John brought his friend to Mexico for cancer treatment 2 weeks ago.
Look, here's the thing. This country is in bad shape. And nobody wants to take it on the chin. It's just going to get worse. All these
No one disagrees with you, Bianchi. We all see it.
And the only one talking about doing something is Donald Trump. Anytime that you have witnessed these prosecutors. They are doing stuff that is illegal. So you're going to not vote for him and reward them for their illegal stuff?
It seems like the state of New York is after his hide.
So is Georgia.
They're not going to give him a break. They want his body on a platter.
So is Georgia. Not all the evidence was against Trump. There was some stuff that was still left out, but, I mean, when he made that call, that was it. But this lady wants to take him down. There is a cabal, and they want to take Trump down. So, you know, the New York, same thing. You know,
Trump didn't do nothing wrong in Georgia. He's the head
he
of the
did.
Republican
he
Party.
He asked,
called a Republican
Didn't he make
governor
a phone call to the governor
asked,
and told
no,
him to
Secretary
find some votes?
What?
How is that?
That's just the nature of his personality, but Maybe he should have done it in a smoother fashion.
Yeah, but even how he... Don, let me ask you a question. How he does it? Is he still in vote? How is he still in vote?
He's asking the Secretary of Change to change votes. I mean,
but Don, George Bush Jr. did the same thing in Ohio in his second election. He asked the somebody at the high end of the voting administration to collaborate with Diebold, and he said something to the effects like, cover me in case I lose.
Right. Well, the thing is that it happens all the time, and that wasn't the Pianchi. That wasn't the only thing that he was brought charges about, that the charges were brought up on him for. He also, some jurors. He was a menace to some jurors. He was almost in contempt of court with the judge for talking. So there were a number of things that technicalities, but in all essence, because he made that call publicly, that was just too much to just say, hey, we can't do anything to this man. And Georgia, as I said, there's a cabal, and Fannie is part of it to take down
what he
Trump.
Said. He didn't tell the governor. It wasn't the Secretary of State to do anything wrong. He lost Georgia by 11,000 votes, I think. I'm not sure.
And that's what he begged them to change.
Were they going to do, change the votes? They couldn't do that.
This
he
is contrary
to
expertise.
It's illegal.
What he probably told them to do was to get the people out and get them to the polls.
Don was the sergeant of arms for the Democratic Party in Wausau County, so I think Don knows more than me even then about election cycles.
Probably do.
Saying is that he didn't tell the man to go out and commit voters.
Well,
he said go out and get some more voters.
He said,
that's all behind.
He said,
behind
yeah,
the tree.
Exactly what I was going to say. And right now, the courts are going to figure it out, so it's time for another topic.
What they're trying to do is keep him from running. They know that these decisions are not going to uphold in the courts, the appellate courts.
And that's what I'm saying.
What have you been charged with in
that's what I'm saying, like, all these problems
in
4 years later, like not one of them is solved.
He hasn't been charged with anything in Atlanta.
His rape charge is solved.
E. Jean Carroll, if a guy assaulted me in a dressing room 25 years ago, first of all, she should have reported it. Second of all, I think it's greedy of her to take $83 million over just because of her reputation was ruined. Like, mine was ruined in college for sleeping with someone when I'm drunk. I wouldn't expect $83 million for it.
It wasn't nobody there. Where's the evidence that all of this stuff happened?
There was only two hearsay things from her friends. It was two hearsay things. And that's not evidence. Like, if I told my two best friends in college this guy sexually assaulted me, yes, they could validate that in court, but it's not proof.
Yeah, and you know that's very dangerous because if they find out that she's lying and you substantiating her lie, then guess what? You're lying too.
That judge when that girl with three names said that she was raped by him, but she couldn't remember the month or the property address.
Now, you know what all this is saying? In that particular case, and also in Atlanta, it's questioning the intelligence of a jury.
I really don't know how E. Jean Carroll made it this far, but I would feel guilty taking that money, and I would use that $83 million to help our government or something, like make a donation. It's terrible.
But that's what Jean Carroll's going to do. Jean Carroll has
greedy.
Already said she's going to commit most of her money to charity, especially women's advocacy and stuff. That's what she's already said. She's going to spend most of her money. That's why she's going through another case. She's bringing on another case now. And that's because she was
in some ways it's a miracle she won, but
something else.
I hope it goes for something good. Because in that case, I'm not a Democrat.
Times?
I don't believe in vilifying them.
She said Trump raped her 2 times on the same damn day?
No, that would be double jeopardy. There was something else, the intimidation charges that threatened her afterwards. So she wants
even,
that money.
Even Stormy
so
Daniels wasn't that greedy. Like Stormy Daniels
well, they're not gonna give her
took 180
they haven't. He'll appeal, just like Bjarke said, or Mike. One of them said that there was going to be appeals. There'll be appeals. She's not going to get that whole thing.
You don't think he'll ever have to pay $83 million?
He'll pay $30 million. He'll pay maybe $25, $30 million, but he won't pay $83 million.
I have a question. Could he even afford to pay the $355 million for the other New York charges?
It's not him.
Like, that's
not
a lot
him
of fucking
who,
money.
It's not
yes,
him.
You know what the problem here
is?
Right
the company
now? Let me talk, please. Can I say something, please, my friends? We all talk a lot. But, you know, my friends, you know what will happen, right? Not the truckers in the United States. They all pissed. And they say we are not going to deliver food to New York, to any other major cities. And if this really happens, that means Biden has to call martial law and bring military to drive the trucks to point A to point B to deliver foods, or otherwise it's going to be hell. People will not have food anymore in a couple of days or 3 days or a week. So it's all right.
What are you talking about? Stop, Mike, what are you talking about?
I'm talking about the truckers pissed because Trump has got $353 million in bail. So they say that we are not going to deliver food, especially to New York and other major cities. And if this happens, that means people will not have food. You go to your stores, all are empty. So what the hell is going to happen? Joe Biden has to call pre-martial law in order to bring military to drive the trucks of the truckers to deliver food, etc. And that's what will happen if the trucker decides that way. And otherwise not, it's still
no.
Threat of martial law is very imminent because the situation in the Middle East is red, code red right now. The situation in Ukraine, Russia, code red. North Korea, South Korea, code red. China and Taiwan is code red. So all these places, once it's like a battles of the guns, and then one catch a fire, all others will catch a fire. So most probably Middle East will go first and other places will go and hell will break loose and everybody else will be in bunkers and martial law will be announced in order to, you know, to deal with the situation in Middle East, Taiwan, China, North Korea or Russia. Right now, 48 hours with Russia is second anniversary of the Ukraine invasion. So now we
have
to wait.
Singapore, Mike, I just want to say one thing before you keep going. When we have people who are as old as Trump and Biden, Donald Trump, I mean, he mistook E. Jean Carroll in a picture for his wife, Marla Maples. Like, if we had a 48-year-old president, at least JFK knew who he was making love to. So we need to get out of this geriatric situation of old presidents. We need young blood. But I don't know what you were diverting for with China, because I set down the phone for a minute.
Don't you think that you should be basing your election choices based on the policies rather than looks, how they talk, and how old they are? The Constitution.
Well, I think Rand Paul hit it on the head last week in Congress that no matter who is in office, we have to take care of the border problem, because how could we be sending millions of dollars to Ukraine and Israel when we can't even seal our borders? Yes, I think that's true, Tianqi, but I cannot – the thing about Trump is I can't overlook his subjective, persuasive Shark Tank personality or
The Apprentice. Like, worse than him.
He's smooth for the wrong reasons. I want somebody who speaks – what?
What? Lyndon B. Johnson was worse than him. He'd take you in the room and beat your ass.
Well, Hubert H. Humphrey, the vice president, I heard that he was a smooth talker too. But back then, people believed in what they were doing. Lyndon Johnson created the Great Society that helped a lot of poor people.
You got people that's all up in arm over abortion. Abortion cannot be a federal issue. It's a state issue. Federal government has no
jurisdiction.
Then
why did Trump say he's
going to
have a national abortion ban?
I don't know what Trump said. Well, you got it. You can't ban. If he's talking about a national being a federal government has no dictums over abortion. They have no dictums over defunding the police.
Like you said, our country's going to hell in a handbasket. Nobody's in charge.
It's going in hell in a handbasket because the people of the country are ignorant.
I agree with that. They don't know how to approach. They're not educated enough to even know how local, regional, state, and federal issues are handled. Richard Nixon was one of the few presidents who tried to bridge the gap between feds and state. He gave earmarked subsidies to each state for housing and for environmental stuff, and he tried to make a smooth transition for funding between feds and state.
But here's the thing. The days of the federal government dishing out money is coming to a fast end. It ain't going to happen no more. We can't dish
well,
out
as
something
far
that
as education, though, there is federal funding for, like, special
giving
ed programs that are mandatory.
Yeah,
well,
but
the thing
what
is, these programs, Pianchi, is that these programs make money. It takes time to recoup the payments. But these programs make money. The problem is that all this greed does nothing but allows people to skim off what is the profit the government is making. The government makes so much money.
But the government, federal government, is not supposed to make money.
Exactly. Are because most
they
of
are
many
not
of these
supposed.
Things,
the federal government is not supposed to make money.
That's what I'm saying. These programs are making so much money that there's an extra money out there that we're not putting to the debt. We're putting in our
pockets. If they're making money, it's due to underhanded deals that's going on.
It's what I'm saying. Exactly what the graft is.
United States.
You know about the doggone $900 toilets. You know, the
$700 hammers. You're absolutely right. United States should not be giving money to Israel. Taiwan should not be giving money to Ukraine. Should not be giving money to El Salvador.
And shouldn't be bringing in all these immigrants.
We've always had our hands in dirty proxy wars.
Shouldn't have open borders. I mean, the borders are, they were just fine when you could come in legally or have your green card or JV1 or whatever, have that all just set up. You can come in, do your thing, work, and then go home. So, you know, bottom line.
But, Don, the second and third world countries are completely powerless. Like, there used to be 4 to 5 wealthy regimes in South America. Now there's no good economies in South America anymore. There's a couple good ones in Central America, but
most of them,
like, Costa Rica has a good tourism business, but they're just Salvador has been cleaned up by their recent president, but really they're all desperate to come to America, so that's not going to change.
Can I say something? Because doggone presidents of all these countries are the biggest crooks there are in the country, and we still give them money to keep the peace down there. All right, go ahead, Mike.
Okay, sir. Hey, you know, this is the plan of North American Union. They are going to put Canada, United States, and Mexico as one country, and they are going to make Amero as a commonality of the money between them. That's why this immigration issue is part of North American Union. They keep bringing, they keep opening the borders, until they say, hey, this is the best plan we have to Americans. Hey, Canadian border would be wide open. Will be, you know, that you're going from Nevada to Arizona, you know? So from Mexico and United States and Canada, there will be one country, and there will be one president rule all the three countries. And you know, it will be Amero, the common new money. And this will happen very soon, because the way it's happening, because there is no other alternative to remove the borderline and make one country and one constitution, one Amero, the new money, and one economic, one army, one everything would be one. So
the United States Constitution, Singapore, Mike, does not permit that.
Okay, at this time, when it's all these things is happening, whether constitution or no constitution, it doesn't matter. It does.
If there's no U.S. Constitution, all bets are off. It would take 3/4 of the states to dissolve the U.S. Constitution. That ain't gonna happen.
So, North American Union is that corner. Whether you like it, whether you dislike it, it will happen. And
it can't happen, Mike. We're under a U.S. Constitution. It does not allow a state within a state.
But if you saw the movie North American Union, you know, the Trojan Horse from Canada, you watch that movie. Everything was pre-programmed by the CBC Canada. And, you know, it clearly shows how it formed, how the people behind the scene made the deal with each other to create the North American Union. And, you know, it's three presidents.
Ain't gonna be no North American Union. Thing that you don't take into account, Americans are well armed with weapons. They are not going to allow that to happen.
Well, so far, tell me what has not been happened it doesn't matter, my friend. Whether it is this is the
you know if the Constitution if the Constitution is disregarded, a person can come up and kill you and would not face any consequences.
Because you know they're going to come. That American people say, hey, do something about it. Okay, North American Union is the best offer. Everybody will accept it, and they will create it. It's not your choice anymore. It's not my choice anymore. It's not Don's choice anymore or Jane.
You know who controls the federal government? The states do. The states are independent countries.
It's like stockholders in a publicly owned company.
The federal government gets its powers from the states. If the states don't want to listen to the federal government, they don't have to.
Everybody has to understand that this is simply normal migration. This is simply normal migration. This is how every...
We don't mind the migration, but it has to be legal.
It doesn't have to be legal. The white
yes,
man
it does.
Who
we have it, laws.
Piaki, stop. The doggone pieces of crap who were on the Mayflower in Santa Maria.
Do you not have
laws? Neither the pizza in the South. They were not legal when they came in.
You got laws. Title 42 is legal.
In 15, they were not legal.
Title 42 is legal.
No, I'm talking about
people
back
that
in 16,
naturalize. People 19, that come 15. To the country and naturalize all the time, they are doing it per Title 42.
Correct.
So if that's the case, why are they going through that? Why are they going through all that problem then? To become naturalized citizens.
Every civilization has always had unnaturalized citizens. We're not any different than anybody else.
Well, it's okay to have unnaturalized. It's okay to have citizens that acquire their citizenship by going through a process, but they cannot run for president.
No. They can't. No, they can't. And the thing is I've mentioned my story quite a few times, is that you know, we have these. When I was a kid, I used to go down to National City. I've been down there a couple times. Stay down there when I go down to San Diego with my dad. And so I'd see the 3-4 mile long cars and trucks coming over, buses with workers, Hispanic workers coming over to work for the day and then go back at night. Same 3 or 4 miles long, and that I thought it was normal. You mean we need the workers? We can't do it on our own. Our white people can't, you know, clean toilets or, you know, mow, you know, 2 acres of lawn. So they need workers. Hotels need workers. So all these people need workers. So these people are coming in right now unfettered across the borders, both Canada and Mexico. People don't understand. Half the migrants come from Mexico, from, you know, South America. The other half come on planes and buses and luxury liners from all over the rest of the world through Canada. So we've got half of it coming from Canada. People don't understand that. So we need these workers no matter where they're coming from, because we're so privileged and lazy that we can't do anything anymore. We don't have any.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, our carpenters.
You know,
they're not teaching black kids or Hispanic kids how to fix these new cars.
They're gonna be irrelevant because AI and artificial intelligence not only is not gonna make a way.
They're not
gonna
go to a person's house and install an HVAC unit.
HVAC. Those are going to be built in the factory. You're going to have modular homes.
I know.
But what I'm saying is,
still have to be somebody to install them.
What I'm saying is this, is that look at Google and other Amazon. They have created artificial intelligence, which effectively took their jobs. They have laid off tens of thousands of computer engineers and so on and so on. What are they going to do? And they can do that.
They're going to shut their towns. They're going to shut their towns. And AI is taking over the world already and will take over the world. And the robot and, you know, the Sophia was purchased by the Saudi Arabia king. And Sophia said to the king of Saudi Arabia, you know, I need a husband. I need a kid. It's the king of Saudi Arabia said, don't worry, Sophia, my dear. We will provide you. So they ordered a kid for Sophia, a husband for Sophia. Come on. You know, many things we tell you right now, some hears, some cannot hear it right. But in the near future, everybody comes to the same conclusion.
Yeah, but as Mike said, these women are falling in love with these AI. They're falling in love with these these robots that are writing them love letters and calling them sweet names. And, the women are actually falling in love with these robots, and that's going to be a huge problem.
Absolutely.
You know,
not only that, you go to Japan to the hotel, the AI and robots say hi and check your room, etc., and another robot brings your luggage inside without you need to give a tip to them or anything like that. And in China, when you go to the China's any airport, only robots check you in, check you out, and check your luggage, everything. I mean, there is basically nobody works in Chinese airport or also in Japanese airport, not too many humans, all robots. And it's already done. But, you know, because we don't leave the United States, and then we think, oh, everything is going to be the same. No, it's already changing. We're changing so faster than we can imagine. And AI, unfortunately, is good or bad. I mean, it's going to affect all of us. I mean, now, instead of elderly care, you know, the robot will take your mother, your father into the bed and make sure they took their medications on time. Anything that they need inject, they will inject it for them, for diabetic, for example, matters, issues that they have. I mean, you don't need any more human beings anymore. And, you know, they cook for you. They do clean up everything they do. Come on. I mean, if you don't research it, it's not my problem. But if you research it, you will come see how much AI has affected humanity today and will do more and more every day and to the point of no return. Go ahead, please.
Russia is going to be using robots to fight its wars.
That's what they just wrote today.
Yeah.
I mean,
so if you don't have people working, who's going to pay taxes?
I mean, United States has a small robot killers. They call them robot killers. They have like 10,000 of them. They put it from the aeroplane down into the enemy line. It goes and it's programmed. And then it kills the enemy. Boom. As soon as, you know, it goes around you, boom, it puts something on your head. That's it. All the enemy soldiers are dead. So, you see, everything is happening, but you know, we need to open our eyes a little bit more and we can smell the coffee, hopefully soon.
All I know is that I smell the coffee every day and it smells fucking great. I have no problem with the world as it is. We're doing, you know, Allah, God's work, the Spirit's work. We're doing exactly what was planned, and we're all where we're supposed to be. So I don't have a problem with any of this bullshit. Everybody else can keep talking and worrying about it, but I'm going to have me some motherfucking fun. And that's all I want to do. That's all I've ever done. And I've organized my life to make sure that I have bring as many people as I can with me to have fun. It's something I learned way back when I was a hippie that you can't, you know, this all this stuff you can't control. And I don't even try to control it. And I could, you know, if I had put all my back past skeletons behind me, I'd run for president. But, you know, this stuff is just so whacked out because everybody's got God is money and money is God. And that's not the way the paradigm works. That's why Africans should be in charge, because they believe in having fun and, you know, still having sex, still making babies. You know, people of color, they don't stop making babies, and that's the way of the world. So, you know, all this other stuff is just, yeah, the dumb people trying to outdo each other, and they're not getting anywhere at all except bringing everybody down.
Absolutely, Don. You're correct on that. I'm with you, man.
I would rather go through a day smiling than a day with a scowl on my face and complaining. You know, that's just me. But it's just a lot more fun when you can enjoy yourself, enjoy your family, enjoy the skies and the birds and the trees and the water and the mountains and everything else around you. You really, you know, you're here a short time on Earth. Whether we come back, reincarnate, that's a question that I often ask. But I don't know, so I'm going to live my life right here the best way I can, the most moral I can, and with the most love that I can. And everything else falls into place. You know, when you're a good person with a good heart, you have good things come to you. And that's what I, you know, that's what I want. That's what I've always found happens. And I can't even think of any other way to live. I can't think of people hating and judging and making, well, I judge all day long because that's what I do on my job. But hating and spending time planning bad things. Go ahead.
James, I got a question for you. We're almost up. I hear what NASA say that future astronauts is not going to be all white males, which, you know, is cool. But how much you want to bet who's going to be the first black man lost in space? We got black men first in this, first with traffic lights and all this. Who's going to be the first black man lost in space? And then when they have a press conference and say we don't know where he's at, you think they're going to be called racist?
No, not at all. If they have a black man who's going to be on a ship or even captain of a ship, then he's going to be qualified. If something happens, then it's going to be on his head, just like any other man or woman who is on a mission. So, no, I don't think race is going to come into it for most people, because the qualifications are going to have to be.
I agree with you on that. Now let me ask you another question. What kind of effect is space travel going to have on blacks? Because, you know, blacks have black skin because text them from the ultraviolet rays of the sun.
The sun,
but
right.
In space, and in a space capsule, you don't have no exposure in the sun. It's just like Africans that moved to London because there's less sunlight. After two or three generations, they turn super bright, like
right.
Skin complexion.
Right. Yeah, and that's going to happen. You know, melanin is like I always say, the only thing certain is change. The only thing that you can depend on is change. So when you've got melanin, that's why we have black melanin. We're in the sun all the time. We got that way. It's going to have to be something that's going to be the same thing in terms of when we are out in space. I have no idea. I mean, that's one of the only questions
would
I can
ask. Would you go out,
would you take
a trip to Mars that's going to last 7 to 10 months one way?
I wouldn't have a problem with it, no. I wouldn't have a problem with Mars or anything if I was assured.
And you know, once
you
get there, you can't come back, right?
I was just going to say, if I had to be assured that I was way back. So, no,
once you get there, John, you can't come back. They don't have no heavy lift rockets.
Well, if you're looking at the NASA TV right now, we have a moon shot that was that's just landed, but it might have landed on its side, and there might
now
have
let me
problems.
Ask you a question: if they take a black male astronaut, do they have to take a black female astronaut for appropriation, for sexual propagation?
No.
How's that gonna
work
out?
A black man can impregnate anything. That's why we're the greatest on earth. That's why we're the kings and queens of the world. Black men can impregnate a rock. You know, they can impregnate, you know, 12.
Well, looking at some of the action of some of these kids, I think they did impregnate rocks. But that's just
they
me.
Did. They did because they're brain dead. But the bottom line is that that's our fault because we should be teaching these kids much more than learning. Especially as parents. As parents, we have done our kids a great disservice by not teaching them what we know. But anyway, yeah, no.
I'm not going to Mars. I'm staying right here.
If I can't come back, I'm not going. But, you know.
Don, my friend,
yeah.
We forgot to say this. It's very important. You know, Charles R. Drew. Who was an American surgeon and medical researcher, found blood plasma. And up to today, 8 billion people can be, you know, their life to be saved because of the blood plasma that he discovered. And, you know, when he, at that time, in it was around 1904 range, that, I mean, in 1950s, but I mean, he born in 1904, sorry. And then in 1950, Charles R. Drew, and he was he was the researcher, and he was, of course, you know, I don't want to say white, black, etc., but I have to name it. He was a black man. And then, you know, in 1955 range, you know, he made a car accident, and they needed to take him to a hospital.
And then he did his plasma, and they couldn't.
Right, and they refused it. They said, Baba, he is the father of the blood plasma. Come on, take him. And they give him the blood plasma. I said, I'm sorry, because of his race, etc. We cannot. And then he was deceased. I mean, this is the shame of humanity. This is the shame of the United States.
Yeah, are we going to do our conclusion?
What?
It's been 95 minutes. So we should start thinking about our conclusions.
That's fine. I got to
get
to work tomorrow anyway.
Fine, yeah.
Okay. Well,
My
conclusion is I will be expecting your next show, Jane, and I hope it's very interesting.
I at least did some research tonight. And John and I are still on the outs a little, but we have other backup. We have Suzette and Wade. So I'll try to make it interesting for you. Okay?
Well, let us know, and we'll see what's going on. In the meantime, you
bring in one of your friends like Sarge.
Sarge is busy.
Oh, my.
Hell, you
remember
Sarge?
I know him, too. Yes, I know him.
You
know
Sarge?
I know him. He's very well. Yes, of course. I am always everywhere. Yes, I know. I know him very well. He's a good man. We love him.
You and Pianchi knew each other from the past, I think.
Right. Yes.
Okay, well, I'll let you guys go.
Okay,
and
I'll see you guys.
Keep me in your prayers and keep Suzette in your prayers.
See you later,
okay.
Don. Take care of yourself.
All right,
okay,
you guys.
I'm gonna play.
See you later.
I started the show with the national anthem of Whitney Houston, and I'm ending it with the national anthem of Taylor Swift.
All righty. Night, everybody.
Just to piss off my critics. Okay, stay tuned if you want to hear. Okay, I'll let you go, okay?
All right.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
She was 18 when she sang that. Okay, good night, everybody.
And we're back in third quarter planning. Adams is quarterbacking this project, and she's looking pretty...